بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our seventh session, reading from بواعث الخلاص من الذنوب, يعني the ways or means through which a person can escape from sins. The original text for this topic is from Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, and the commentary that we are reading from is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. This evening we're going to be looking at the seventh ba'ith, the seventh of those matters, those means through which a person will find help in escaping from falling into disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before we look at this seventh matter, we're going to go over briefly some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 6. The first question being, summarize the six ba'ith, yani religious motivational factor presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, the sixth of the bawa'ith. Anyone? Sixth one. Okay, fadl, now.
Conquer the nafs and be victorious over shaitan, equals evidence of
it. Naam. Conquering the nafs, yani the shahwa, a person's desires or their lower self, the nafs that commands a person to do evil, and to overcome the shaitan, the delight and the happiness and the joy that a person experiences when they're able to defeat their nafs and defeat a shaitan. The second question, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah compared the end result or the effect of this ba'ith to what? What did he compare the end result of this ba'ith? Naam, Abdul Wali.
By taking medicine that removes sickness and also brings a person back to good health.
Like taking some beneficial medicine that removes sickness from the body and returns a person to a state of good health. The third question. In his commentary, the Shaykh, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, says that the nafs or the shahwa and the shaitan are the sources and origin of what? The nafs and the shaitan? Naam, Talib.
Sin and evil.
Sin and evil, naam. Yani that the nafs and the shaitan are the sources of sin and the origin of all evil. Question number 4. Mention the occasions on which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to seek refuge with Allah from these two sources of evil. Yani the occasions on which the Prophet said that we should seek refuge in Allah from these two sources of evil. Naam. Help me, brother.
Abdul Halim.
Abdul Halim. Naam. As-sabah, yani the morning, every morning, and al-masa, evening, every evening, and at the time when a person is going to bed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani ordered us, showing the importance, yani of seeking refuge in Allah from these two sources of evil, in the morning, every morning, to begin one's day, and in the evening, and at the time of going to bed. This shows the great importance of these words and this supplication and our need for them. Every person is in need of them. Question number 5. Mention 3 descriptions of Allah in the hadith in which we are ordered to seek refuge from the evils of these two. 3 descriptions of Allah that came in that supplication. Naam. Yani that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything. Naam.
He's the knower of all things, hidden and apparent.
He knows everything. and the Lord and Sovereign of all things. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb. Yani He owns and controls and has power and authority over everything. And these are some of the absolute descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creator of everything that exists. The knower of everything, hidden and apparent. And He is the one who has yani authority over and power over everything in the creation. Question number 6. Who does this supplication inform us will be at the receiving end of the evil from these two sources? Who will be yani those who will be affected by this evil? Fadl, the Wali.
Your own soul and those and other Muslims.
Naam, yourself or other Muslims. Yani, the evil that comes from you and that comes from shaitan is either going to affect you personally or it's going to affect other Muslims. Question number 8. Briefly explain how this... I'm sorry, question number 7. Question number 7 is memorize this important supplication which perfectly encompasses the ways and means of escaping from evil. This is a memorization question. Now, hey, let's try, you know, because we have to memorize. Some things have to be memorized. If a person couldn't memorize it, if they tried and they really tried, then read it. Then read it, yani, read it. But we have to be benefiting from this. Naam, Fadla, Abdul Halim.
عالم الغيب والشهادة عالم الغيب والشهادة رب كل شيء ومليكه أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت
أعوذ بك
أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه إنك تربى على نفسي سوء أو أجره إلى مصر
ما شاء الله أحسنت. Somebody help us just with one word that's left out. Huh? The supplication begins with what word? Allahumma. Allahumma. Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Alim al-ghaybi wal-shahar. Rabba kulli shayin walika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Astaghfirullah. A'udhu bika min sharri nafsi, min sharri shaytani wa shirki, wa naqtarifa ala nafsi su'an aw ajruhu ila muslim. In any case, yani, sometimes we have a question for memorization, and the reason for that is because we do have to, even older people, we have to begin to memorize if we haven't already. And secondly, because these are things that if you memorize them, they're going to benefit you for the rest of your life. And if you memorize this and you recite it every single day, you're not going to be able to forget it. Once you memorize it, it's going to be with you. Unlike other things that you may yani, benefit from for a time and then lose it. But if you memorize this, you're not going to ever lose it. It's going to benefit you for the rest of your life. And it's a very important benefit. Question number 6 or number 8. Briefly explain how this supplication perfectly encompasses the ways and means of escaping from evil. How does this supplication encompass the ways and means of escaping from evil? And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, Naam. You know, because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned the sources of evil, which is the nafs and shaitan, and the consequences, the end, yani, who would receive the harm of that evil, yani, that is yourself or other Muslims. So here in this supplication, the Prophet ﷺ has combined the mention of the sources of evil and their end result, yani, the consequences, those who would be receiving the harm from it. Question number 9, summarize the first 6 bawa'ith, motivational factors mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. First 6, in order, inshaAllah. The first one. Now, the greatness of Allah, ta'zeem of Allah, ijlalullah. Naam, second one.
Actual
love of Allah. The love of Allah due to which a person will be obedient to Him. The third one. Naam, who's that over there? Ameen? Naam. Actualizing, yani recognizing, acknowledging, being conscious of the multiple, unlimited blessings of Allah. And the noble person, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the noble person, yani doesn't return evil to the one who treats them well. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings and bounties, how can we then reciprocate with yani misconduct, ill behavior, yani disobedience and sin? Fourth one, somebody else. Somebody else, give somebody else a chance. Nobody? Okay, fadl. Okay, also, naam? Somebody said something else? Yani reminding oneself, yani being conscious of the danger, the seriousness of Allah's anger, yani from the disobedience, yani as a result of disobedience of the human being, yani constantly disobeying Allah leads to His anger. And if Allah becomes angry, He punishes, and nobody can withstand His punishment. What number are we on? Five? Huh? Five. Now, Abdul Halim.
Being conscious of the loss of good.
Being conscious of the loss of good. Yani that all the good of this world and the next life that a person is subject to lose as a result of their disobedience. Number six. Six, the last one that we had last week. Fadl. Are you reading from a book or you actually know them? Tell the truth.
Nus.
And natija nafsu natija. Your notes, the book, whatever. Pai, what is the last one? Help us. Help us with your notes. Huh? Now, conquering your nafs and overcoming the shaitan. You need the two sources of sin and disobedience and evil. So these are some of the topics that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the seventh, ba'ith. Yani this means of helping a person to avoid committing acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm just going to say here, yani, that yani we should all reflect on the reality of our dire need of knowing these things and then implementing them. Yani everyone needs to reflect on their own self, how much in need I am of knowing these things so that I can help myself to avoid disobedience to Allah. What could be more important than a person learning how to avoid sin? None. So I'm going to read first from the translation, and I'll remind us again that unfortunately the way the book is arranged is a little difficult to follow because the text of the words of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim are in the back of the book. In this case, it's on page 60. The seventh point is on page 60 in the back of the book. And then after that, we're going to have to go back to the front of the book for the commentary on page 22. So we're going to start on page 60 from the English and then go back up to 22. So this is how it's translated. It says, the seventh point is consciousness of the compensation and the reward. Yani, recognizing, acknowledging, and being aware, being conscious of the compensation, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He compensates a person when they, yani, abandon disobedience to Him. This is the compensation that Allah has promised, that Allah has promised for people to abandon forbidden matters for His sake. Abandon forbidden matters for His sake and to prevent their souls from their desires. The servant should compare the compensation to that which it replaces. Yani what Allah is promising to give in place of what you are abandoning of sin and disobedience. The person should compare the thing that Allah is offering as compensation compared to that which Allah is asking you to give up. And whichever of the two is more rewarding or more befitting or more deserving, then he should choose it and be pleased with it for himself. The text of the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim is basically the same. So that's okay. But when we go to the commentary of the Shaykh, it's very, very different what has been translated in English and what is in the Arabic text. It's very, very different. Alright, so I'm just going to look a little bit at what is translated in English just so we can see what's there. And then we should really be paying attention to what's in Arabic, because the Arabic is much more comprehensive. There are four evidences that the Shaykh mentions in his commentary. None of them are mentioned in the English translation. Two references to the Quran and two references to the Sunnah. None of it is mentioned in the English translation. So, in any case, yani what's mentioned in the English translation, still a person can benefit. The topic is there, it's just not yani complete. Alright, so we just look at it quickly. In the English translation on page 22, it says, the seventh way to escape sins is to be conscious of the reward and compensation. Whenever you abandon disobedience, which is actually part of your faith, abandoning it out of fear of Allah. Yani the reason why you abandon it is out of fear of Allah. Or in pursuit of His pleasure, seeking the pleasure of Allah. In an effort to safeguard your iman and seeking success through attainment of the pleasure of your Lord. Whenever a person does this, then how much will Allah compensate you for abandoning these things? Yani, oh how much? Yani, the meaning here is, it's not a question, it's a statement. Yani, in Arabic it's more clear, in English it's not so clear, but the meaning is, so Allah will compensate you so much, so much. Compensation is in the form of delight, happiness and joy of the heart, felicity, blessings in this life and other forms of good. Yani, reward in this life and reward in the next life. Whoever leaves something for Allah will find that Allah will replace it for him with that which is better. Thus, whenever one's soul incites them to commit a sin, then they should admonish their soul to abandon whatever it is inciting them towards, seeking compensation, yani from Allah, which comprises a vast amount of good in this worldly life and the hereafter, with which Allah honors His believing servant who abandons disobedience out of fear of his Lord, hope for his reward, and in pursuit of the success that he has promised. Abandoning sinfulness is obedience in itself. This is an important point that actually is not mentioned in the Arabic text. Abandoning sinfulness is obedience in itself. Yani a person avoiding sin, that's obedience to Allah. And it is an act of devotion to Allah. Abandoning sin, consciously leaving off sin, is an act of devotion. It's ibadah. And a part of your faith through which you draw closer to Allah. And every time a person consciously and he makes an effort to avoid sin, this is a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, this understanding is established by several proofs and evidences. From them is the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which has been previously mentioned. لا يزني الزاني هنا يزني وهو مؤمن. The adulterer who commits adultery is not a believer while he is committing adultery. So this hadith is not mentioned in the Arabic text, but he mentions other hadith that are actually more closer to the point and clearly understood, yani the benefit from them, or the reason why he has mentioned them. So, in the Arabic, we're reading from page 23 and 24, and we'll begin with the top of the page, قال الإمام المقيم رحمه الله السابيو, yani the seventh of the بواعث, yani those things that are means of helping a person to avoid sin. مشهد العوض, yani it's the acknowledgement, the recognition and the consciousness that there is a compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani mashhad al-iwad. Wahuwa, and he defines what he means by al-iwad. Wahuwa ma wa'ada Allah subhanahu bihi min ta'widi man taraka al-maharim li-ajlihi. Wanaha nafsahu an hawaha. He said that this iwad, it is that which Allah has promised. That which he promises to compensate a person with, yani who gives up, abandons the things that he has prohibited for his sake, who gives it up for the sake of Allah. And this is very important, and some of the commentators, they have had some commentary on this, maybe we'll mention some of it, but the point here is what? That a person abandons sin for the sake of Allah. Because people abandon things for different reasons. So the point here is Allah compensates the person who abandons sin for his sake, seeking his pleasure in order to yani earn the pleasure of Allah and nearness to him and to protect their iman. He said, and they also prohibit their nafs. They prevent, they prohibit, they restrain, they restrict their nafs, their lower desires. They prohibit their nafs from its desires, from entertaining those things that yani you're being called to that are evil. And nafs al-amaru bis-su, calling you to do things that are prohibited and displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, restraining the nafs from that. He says, وَلْيُوَازِنْ بَيْنَ الْعِوَضْ وَالْمُعَوَّضْ. So a person needs to weigh, yani measure, look at the iwad, the thing that the compensation that Allah is offering, if you would abandon this thing, and compare it with the thing that you are being asked to give up. Compare what Allah is offering as compensation to what you are being asked to give up. فَأَيُّهُمَا كَانَ أَوْلَى بِالْإِيثَارِ اِخْتَارَهُ وَارْفَضَاهُ لِنَفْسِهِ. So whichever of them is more worthy of being given preference, whichever of them is better, then the person should choose it and be pleased with it for himself. And this is so crystal clear, yani what he has summarized here in just a few sentences. And if a person reflects on it, and really carefully examines it, thinks through it, it will be a tremendous help and aid and assistance and support for a person, for every human being, because every human being is committing sins. Yani who wants to earn the pleasure of Allah and earn yani a position of nearness to Allah and earn His reward that He has, that He is offering in this world and in the next life. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, الأمر السابع من هذه البواعث, يعني the seventh matter from these يعني means or ways of escaping from sin. الفوز بالعوض من الله سبحانه وتعالى, that a person earn the success, they achieve يعني that which the compensation that is being promised from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person be successful in attaining the iwad, the reward, the good that Allah is promising to the one who abandons sin for his sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَإِن تَرَكْتَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ الْمَعْسِيَةَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَطَلَبًا لِرِضَاهُ وَرِعَيَةً لِلْإِمَانِ. So if you, O worshipper of Allah, if you abandon sin, خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ, yani this is, for those who are students of Arabic, yani المفعول, what? بِأَجْلِهِ, yani the reason why you are doing this is out of fear of Allah. And the reason why you are doing it is طَلَبًا لِرِضَاهُ, yani seeking His pleasure, seeking the pleasure of Allah. وَرِعَيَةً لِلْإِمَانِ. Why are you abandoning this sin? You're abandoning sin out of fear of Allah, fear of His punishment, fear of earning His displeasure, seeking His pleasure, and to protect and guard and preserve your iman. Because every act of sin, yani, affects a person's iman, causes the iman to decrease and to become weak. And some people commit sin to an extent that maybe the iman will completely be gone. There will be nothing left of it, and they will go out of Islam. A person has to be fearful of this. The Shaykh says, so if you abandon sin out of fear of Allah, seeking His pleasure, and to protect and preserve and guard your iman, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُعَوِّضُكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So Allah will compensate for you in this world. And he goes on to say after this, He will compensate you also in the next life. And Allah will reward you in this world as well as in the next life. Not just in the next life, but even in this world. He said, Allah will يعني compensate you in the dunya بِلَذَّةٍ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَسَعَادَةٍ فِي النَّفْسِ وَبَرَكَةٍ فِي الْحَيَاةِ. يعني He will reward you in this life with يعني a sweetness, يعني that a person, a joy that a person will experience in their heart, and happiness for their soul, and blessings, yani kathratul khair, a lot of good in the hayat al-dunya, in this world. Allah will give you all of this, yani your heart and your soul, and even yani material things in this world. Even material things in this world. Yani barakah means all kinds of khair, a lot of khair. But it could be material and it could be other than that. Yani it includes all of that. Then the Shaykh mentions the first reference to the Quran that's not mentioned in the English translation, and that's from Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 97th Ayah. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whoever does righteous deeds, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether it is a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he is a believer. This is very important here, right? This is the condition for what Allah is offering. Whoever does good deeds while they are a believer, with iman. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, then we will give him a life, a good life. حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. And the scholars have explained this, حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, with different things. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يعملون. And we will reward them. Their reward will be based on the best of that which they do. The best of what they do. We're going to stop here just for a minute, but I'm going to, like after this the Shaykh says, وَسَيُعَوِّضَكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِدِخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ وَتَمَتُّعْ بِنَعِيمِهَا الْمُقِيمِ جَزَاءَ تَرْكِكَ لِلْعَثَامِ وَالْمَعَاسِي. And then he mentions another reference to the Qur'an. So Allah will also compensate you in the next life by admittance into the paradise and the enjoyment of the permanent blessings of paradise as a reward for your abandoning sin and disobedience to Allah. So here, the Shaykh is saying, Allah will compensate you in this world. He mentions the ayat that we just read. And He will also compensate you in the next life with what? With Jannah. And the enjoyment of the permanent blessings and bounties that are in the Jannah as a reward for your abandoning sin and disobedience to Allah. And then he mentions, the ayah from Surah An-Naziah, 79th Surah, 40 and 41st ayah. Before we look at the ayah, I want to just briefly look at some of what is mentioned in the tafsir concerning the ayah in Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 97th ayah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman, Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir for this ayah, he says, Allah has mentioned the reward of the amileen. He has mentioned the reward of those who do good deeds. People who are doing something. Not just wishing and hoping, I'm a Muslim, I'm going to get some reward from Allah. No, this is the reward for the amileen, the people who are working, who are doing good deeds. في الدنيا والآخرة. In this ayah, Allah has mentioned the reward that He's given to the people in this world and the reward that He'll give them in the next life. So He says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن. Whoever does righteous deeds, being a male or a female, while he is a believer. Al-Imam Sa'di says, فَإِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ شَرْطْ لِسِحَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَقُبُولِهَا. Yani because iman is a condition for the validity and the acceptance of good deeds. It's a condition for the validity and acceptance. Yani good deeds, what is normally considered to be a good deed, like performing salat and giving zakat and things like this, yani they are not valid and they are not accepted by Allah except that they fulfill conditions. And the first condition for acceptability, for the acceptability of deeds, is that a person has iman. Rather, the Shaykh says, deeds are not even called righteous illa bil iman. Yani la yusamma a'malan salihah illa bil iman. Yani a deed is not even considered a good deed unless it is accompanied by iman. Wal iman muqtadin laha. And iman necessitates, requires good deeds. Yani there's no iman without good deeds. If a person has iman, it requires that there be a fruit, and the fruit is the good deeds that come from iman. فَأَنَّهُ يعني because iman is التصديق الجازم المثمر للأعمال الجواري. Because iman يعني is absolute, certain يعني attestation يعني testifying to the truthfulness of what is required by iman that brings forth the fruit of the أعمال الجواري. يعني its fruit is that a person does good deeds, whether they're from the obligatory deeds or the things that are mustahab. فَمَنْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. So whoever combines these two things, having iman and righteous deeds, yani whoever does good deeds, male or female, while he or she is a believer, whoever combines between righteous deeds and iman. I just saw a news article the other day of the Mother Teresa of one of the South American countries. Somebody that is trying to make a saint. These people, who they are known, they did so many good deeds, but with no iman, it's useless. There's no benefit whatsoever from it. And if the kafir, if they do something good, Allah gives them some reward in the dunya. As far as in the akhirah, there's nothing. So, whoever combines between iman and righteous deeds, فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاتٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. Then we will give him a good life. وَذَلِكَ. And this will be that a person, yani, بِتَمَأْنِينَ قَلْبِهِ وَسُكُونَ نَفْسِهِ وَعَدَمْ إِلْتِفَاتِهِ لِمَا يُشَوِّشْ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ وَيَرْزُقُهُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Yani this hayat طَيِّبًا, this good life, the Shaykh says, it is that the heart and the soul be at peace and enjoy tranquility and calmness. This is part of the hayat al-tayyibah, that a person's heart and soul will be at peace, will be at rest, will be calm, and will enjoy tranquility. And this is the thing that the people in the kuffar and some Muslims are searching for with their giving their life over to seeking material things. Because they think if they can get enough money and homes and cars and whatever, that they will have happiness. But this is from Allah alone. So this is the hayat al-tayyibah, that a person's heart and soul is enjoying peace and tranquility. And that the person, yani, that they will not pay attention to those things that normally would cause distractions for the heart. And they will be provided by Allah with a good, wholesome, halal provision from where they didn't imagine it. So also, part of the hayat al-tayyibah is not just the heart and soul, but also good, wholesome, lawful provisions. And that a person is going to earn their provisions in a lawful way. Allah is going to provide them with that. And a Muslim doesn't have to cheat or lie or steal or engage in any kind of forbidden activity, riba or other than that. Muslim doesn't have to do that. A Muslim has to do righteous deeds along with iman, and Allah is going to give you that. He's going to give you hayat al-tayyibah. The Shaykh says, وَلَنَجِزِيَنَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and we will also reward them, yani in the next life, with a reward for the best of what they did, and that will be every type of yani enjoyment and pleasure that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and has not come across, yani has the heart of the human being has not even conceived of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them في الدنيا with hasana and in the akhirah with hasana. Just quickly, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah, mentions some various opinions. Yani five different opinions about what is hayat al-tayyibah. I just want to quickly mention them. From amongst them, the first one that he mentions is that it's narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and a group from amongst the early generations of Muslims, that they explain hayat al-tayyibah means yani al-rizq al-halal al-tayyib, yani the wholesome, lawful provisions. Al-Dahhaq rahimahullah said, the hayat al-tayyibah is a risk al-halal wal-ibadah fi dunya. That the good life is having yani lawful provisions and worship. Yani that a person would be a worshipper in this world. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, he explained it as meaning al-qana'ah, yani that a person would have yani contentment and satisfaction. That a person would be content with whatever they have. Allah will make their heart to be content. Even if they have little or much, it doesn't matter. And a person doesn't have to have a lot to be content. Allah is the one who gives contentment to the soul. And He would give that to the believer who does good deeds. Ibn Abbas is also, radiallahu anhu, reported to have said that it is as-sa'adah. The hayat al-tayyibah is happiness. Happiness in this world. And then the fifth opinion, he says, قال الحسن ومجاهد وقتاده رحمه الله لا يطيب لأحد حياة إلا في الجنة. Yani they said that no person will enjoy a good life, yani a pleasant life, except in Jannah. And then Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, after mentioning these opinions, and I've mentioned one of them out of order, just for the sake of any continuity of the thought, he says, وَالصَّحِيِّ أَنَّ الْحَيَاةَ الطَّيِّبَةَ تَشْمَلُ هَذَا كُلَّهُ. Yani Ibn Kathir says, all of those opinions, yani حَيَاةَ الطَّيِّبَةَ includes all of them. So, yani this is from yani the compensation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to those who abandon sins for His sake, out of fear of Him, seeking His pleasure, and to protect and preserve their iman. That He would reward them in this life with hayat al-tayyibah. And He would also give them a reward in the next life, according to the best of what they have done. After this, the Shaykh says the second part of what he says that Allah's compensation would include, yani, that He would give you in the next life compensation, and that would be the admittance, being admitted into Jannah, and to be able to enjoy the permanent blessings and bounties, yani, of Jannah as a reward for abandoning sin and disobedience. And this is as Allah the Most High said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naziat, 79th surah, 40th and 41st ayah, He says, yani the meaning of which is, as for the one who fears, standing before his Rabb. Yani the standing for judgment. And therefore prohibits himself, yani his nafs, from it following its desires, the things that are not pleasing to Allah. Then indeed the paradise will be his destination, his resting place. Concerning this, just briefly, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى أَيْ خَافَ الْقِيَامَ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَخَافَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. Yani he said, the person who fears the standing before his Rabb, he said it means standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fear his judgment, Allah's judgment of them. Yani for what they have done in this world. وَنَهَى نَفْسَهُ عَنْ هَوَاهَا. And he also prohibits and prevents himself from following his desires. وَرَدَّهَا إِلَى طَاعَةِ مَوْلَاهَا. Yani, and he forces the nafs to leave those sinful things and to go back to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person forces himself, yani, to leave the sinful behavior and to return to obedience to our Mawla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Yani, he said that it means that it will be his place of return, his destination. It will be to Al-Jannah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat just briefly, yani that the person fears standing before Allah and yani the compensation, yani that Allah would judge people with justice for their deeds, good and evil. فَأَثَّرَ هَذَا الْخَوْفِ قَلْبِهِ فَنَهَى نَفْسُهُ عَنْ هَوَاهَا. So this fear of standing before Allah affected him, affected the person's heart, such that that person prohibits and prevents their nafs from following its desires, those desires which shackle him. Or in some of the transcript or in some of the printed copies or handwritten copies of Ibn Kathir says, yani those desires which shackle him or those desires which discourage him and turn him away from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani following desires shackles a person from being obedient to Allah and discourages a person and turns a person away from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَارَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ. With this, because of the fear of standing before Allah and a person struggling against himself and prohibiting from following his desires, he said then his desires become subject to and follow that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. وَجَاهَدَ الْهَوَى وَالشَّهْوَى الصَّادَيْنِ عَنَ الْخَيْرِ. And he struggles against his hawa and his shahwa, which yani prevent him and yani hinder him from khair. In this case, yani the Jannah will be for him. The Shaykh, he says, yani means that the Jannah that yani entails every kind of khair, good, and every kind of surur, happiness, and every kind of na'im, bounty and blessing. And this will be the destination, liman hadha wasfuhu, for the one who, this is his description. Yani his description is what? His description is that he does what? He restrains his nafs. He restricts it. Yani he struggles against it. He forces it, yani to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And this is the result of what? His fear of standing before his Rabb. After this, the Shaykh mentions two hadith. And again, unfortunately, they're not mentioned in the translation, but they're short hadith, so we can learn them and we can memorize them. And we can write them down and we can memorize them and we can learn them. The Shaykh says, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا اتِّقَاءَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَطَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. This hadith is reported in the Muslim of Imam Ahmed, and many of the scholars of the past and present have declared the isnad for this hadith to be sahih. From amongst the earlier scholars, Al-Busayri and Ibn Muflih said that it's sahih, and from the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Al-Albani and Shaykh Muqbil bin Hadi and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, all of them said that this hadith is sahih. The wording of the hadith came in different narrations in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and in other books with slightly different wording. Some of them said that indeed you will never leave off anything. Yani ittiqa Allah, yani because of your taqwa of Allah, except that Allah will give you khayran minhu, that which is better than it. Some of them said a'taqa Allah, some of them said a'taqa Allah, some of them said abdalaka Allah, badalaka Allah, and in a different narration altogether in a different hadith, awadahu Allah. Yani then Allah will yani give you as a substitute. So all of the meanings are the same. Allah will give you, or Allah will exchange, yani the person who gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give them in exchange that which is better than it. And I was surprised in looking at these hadith that the narration, the last narration that I found, من ترك شيئا لله أوضه الله خيرا منه, is a hadith that I read 15 or 20 years ago, and I, and Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah said the hadith, the isnad has some weakness in it, but the meaning is sahih. So I always kept this hadith with me because I always felt that this is a tremendous hadith, only to find just in these days that actually some scholars said the hadith has some weakness. Shaykh al-Albani said that the hadith is sahih in Hijab al-Mar'a al-Muslima. So in any case, the meaning of this hadith and the others that are mentioned, the hadith that the Shaykh mentions is that whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah would replace it, would compensate them with that which is better than it. And this is the core meaning of our topic, yani for tonight. That is that a person is looking forward to the compensation from Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, you would never give up anything for the sake of Allah, except that Allah would give you, in place of it, that which is better than it. I mean, if you just think about that for a moment, and we don't have a lot of time, but I'm saying, yani maybe later on tomorrow, whenever, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, the language that he used, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا, yani which is language of certainty, definiteness, affirmation, that you would never ever give up anything for the sake of Allah, except that Allah would give you that which is better than it. The first line of this hadith, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا, is general, and it includes anything that a person would give up. Anything that a person gives up, yani, it includes that. لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا, yani, اِتِّقَاءَ اللَّهِ, and some of the narrators said, لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The second point of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ is that you give it up observing taqwa of Allah. You give it up for the sake of Allah. This statement clarifies, yani in it the Prophet ﷺ clarifies that abandoning something for the sake of Allah must be for the pleasure of Allah, not out of fear of the ruler or the authority, the police department. Huh? Not out of fear of the authorities. Not out of shyness from the people, because some people won't commit their sins in front of other people, but in front of Allah, yani, they don't have any hesitation. It shouldn't be because the person was unable to complete that affair, but rather it has to be purely for the sake of Allah alone. Because lots of times people do, yani, have an intent to commit a sin, but when they see, yani, the police are around, then they restrain themselves. Some people, when they see other people looking at them, they feel shyness in front of the human beings, so they don't do it. And there's no benefit in that. Rather, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for the one who does it purely for the sake of Allah, out of fear of Allah alone, seeking the pleasure of Allah alone, being aware and conscious of the need to protect and preserve their iman. And the last line of this hadith, yani, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will give them or exchange for them that which is better than it. And this is a clarification of the reward that the person who does this, yani, for the sake of Allah, the reward that they would receive, yani, it would be better than whatever they are abandoning. Some of the scholars said that this compensation may be of the same type of the thing that you are abandoning. but that which is lawful. Or maybe something completely different. It may be in this world, and it may be in the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He would compensate the believer. And He taught us in the Quran to ask for the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, and we expect that Allah would give us that. Finally, the Shaykh, he mentions one other hadith. This is the end of what he is presenting here. After this hadith, that you will never give up anything, yani out of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that He will give you that which is better than it. He says, وَشَوَاهِدْ هَذَا الْبَعْثِ فِي الشَّرْءِ كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا. And those, yani evidences, or textual evidences from the Sharia, that bear witness to and support this particular, yani seventh matter, yani that whoever abandons something for the sake of Allah, Allah will compensate them with that which is better than it. He said that the evidences in the Sharia for this are many. فَإِنَّ مَنْ امْتَنَعَ عَنْ شُرْبْ أُمَّ الْخَبَائِثِ يعني الخمر بِالدُّنْيَا أَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنَحْرٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ خَمْرٍ. And yani, it says, and the wording came in the book, مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ طَعْمُهُ. And I assume that the Shaykh is referring to the ayah in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 15th ayah, that mentions the description of the yani khamr as لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Yani that whoever refrains and abstains from drinking al-khabath, yani the mother of everything filthy and evil, that is al-khamr, in this world, whoever gives it up, refrains from it in this world, then Allah would compensate that person, the Rabb al-Alameen would compensate them with a river in Jannah of khamr, but a khamr that would be different than the khamr of this world. It wouldn't have the harmful effects, it wouldn't have the filthy taste or smell or the other yani evil aspects of khamr, not the least of which is yani what it causes a person to do in terms of losing their control of their self. And for this reason, it is referred to as al-khabaith, because it is the source of every kind of filth and evil. And people become intoxicated, whether alcohol or other than that, and then they do yani the unbelievable. They do the unbelievable. And perhaps some people, they drink it because they want to do those things. And that will be their excuse. The Shaykh says, whoever gives up this in this world, the Rabb al-Alameen will compensate them with drinking from a river in Jannah, yani that will be delicious and tasty to those who drink. بِخِلَافِ مَنْ تَعَاطَ هَذِهِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَأَتَادَ فِعْلَهَا وَلَمْ يَتُوبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْهَا. This, yani, the person who gives up this drinking khamr, for example, and as we already mentioned, yani, the person who gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah would place it with that which is better, of the same type, or something, yani, completely different, in this world and the next life. But here the Shaykh is saying, so whoever gives up this drinking of the khamr in this dunya, then the Rabb al-Alameen will compensate them by giving them a khamr, yani of the same, yani something that is also called khamr, but it won't be like the khamr in this world. It won't have those evil effects, and the person will enjoy it. It will be something that will be tasty and delicious for those who drink it. That is as opposed to the one who, yani, pursues the engagement or the consumption of these prohibited things, and it becomes their habit. They become addicted to it. وَلَمْ يَتُوبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And they didn't. Yani they engaged in these things and then they didn't repent to Allah. Because repentance removes yani whatever came before. فَإِنَّهُ سَيُحْرَمُهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ كَمَا سَحَى عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَنْ شَرِبَ الْخَمَرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبْ مِنْهَا حُرِمَهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. So he said, this is yani the reward of those who abandon it, who give it up, who restrict and restrain themselves from these haram things. And the example he mentions here is khamr. Then Allah would compensate them with that which is better than it, as opposed to those who consume Yani these prohibited things, who engage in prohibited things, and yani it became their habit so that they do it regularly, and they didn't repent from it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prohibit, they would be prohibited in the next life from that which would have been a compensation for it in the Jannah. And this is as it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith that's reported, yani by al-Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayhi, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever drinks khamr in this world, in the dunya, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبْ, and then they didn't repent from it. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبْ مِنْهَا حُرِمَهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, then that person would be deprived, would be prohibited, would be yani prevented from the compensation or the substitute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would provide as a reward for the people in Jannah. Person would be prohibited from that in the next life. As far as this hadith, yani the scholars explained it in different ways. There are a lot of different explanations. And I found about 10 different explanations. We don't have time to go through them. But a little bit of what has been said concerning this hadith, because there is an issue here, and that is, yani the person who consumes intoxicants in this world would be deprived of it in the next life. Yani what does that mean exactly? Al-Imam al-Nawawi, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, rahimahullah, he says, the saying of the Prophet, whoever drinks khamr in the dunya, that he will not drink it in the next life. Illa an yatub, except that he repents. And in another narration, حُرِمَهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, he will be deprived of it in the next life. مَأَنَاهُ, he said, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, the meaning of this is, يُحْرَمْ شُرْبَهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that he will be prohibited from drinking from the khamr that will be in Jannah. وَإِنْ دَخْلَهَا, even if he entered the paradise. Some of the scholars said that the person being prohibited from the khamr of the Jannah, yani some of the scholars of the Sunnah, like Al-Khattabi and Al-Baghawi and Ibn Abdul Barr, said that the meaning of him being prohibited, yani deprived of the khamr of Jannah, means that he would not enter the Jannah. Because in Jannah, a person would have whatever they desire. Nobody would be in Jannah being deprived of what they desire. So they said that it means that a person would not enter the Jannah. Some of the scholars said, though, that it means like every other major sin that a person didn't repent from, yani they wouldn't enter the Jannah unless and until Allah pardons them. Unless and until Allah pardons them. Some of the scholars, Imam Nawawi goes on to say that this is one of the meanings that, yani, that they would be prohibited from drinking the khamr that's in the Jannah, even if they were admitted into the paradise. For indeed, the khamr in the Jannah is from the best of the drinks that will be in Jannah. So this person, due to their drinking the khamr in the dunya, they will be prevented from drinking it in the akhirah. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says, it has also been said, a second opinion, he said, is that, إِنَّهُ يَنْسَى شَهْوَتَهَا, yani that a person who drank the khamr in the world, but they were admitted into paradise, then they would, yani, forget about the desire that they had for al-khamr. They will forget about it. لِأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ فِيهَا كُلُّ مَا يَشْتَهِي, because in Jannah is everything that a person desires. So the person, yani, being prevented from drinking it, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He admitted them to paradise, He will make them forget about this desire for the khamr. He mentions, rahimahullah, another third opinion, he said, كِلَ لَا يَشْتَهِيَ, that the person would not have a desire for it. وَإِنْ ذَكْرَهَا, even if he remembered it. Yani even if he didn't forget it, he remembered it. But then, he wouldn't have a desire for it. And because why? Because the person would have whatever they desire in Jannah. And this person is prohibited from the khamr in Jannah. So even if he remembered it, yani Allah would make it so that he didn't have a desire for it, because he's not going to be drinking from it. He said, and this will be, وَيَكُونُ هَذَا نَقْصُ نَعِيمٍ فِي حَقِّهِ تَمْيِيزًا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ تَارِكْ شُرْبِهَا, yani that this would be a defect in the blessings of the Jannah, of this blessing in Jannah, that yani that he should have been entitled to. This would be something that he would be deprived of in order to distinguish between him and the one who abandoned the khamr in the dunya. And they would not be the same. They would not be the same. Then Imam Nawawi closes this point, and we'll close with this point. I'll mention one other point first, though. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, in his explanation, of some of the hadith from Sahih Muslim, he says that this hadith, the apparent meaning of it is that the person would be permanently prohibited from the khamr of the Jannah. Even if they entered the Jannah, he would drink from all of the other drinks of Jannah, the water of Jannah, the asal of Jannah, the leban of Jannah, the rivers of water and honey and leban, but he would not drink from the khamr in the Jannah. But even in spite of that, his not being able to drink from it would not cause harm to him. Because people, whoever enters Jannah is going to be happy. Whoever enters Jannah is going to be happy. But he's not going to take from this. Imam Nawawi closes his discussion concerning this hadith by saying, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ التَّوْبَ يُكَفِّرُ الْمَعَاسِ الْكَبَائِرِ وَهُوَ مُجْمَعْ عَلَيْهِ. That this hadith is a proof and evidence that a tawbah expiates for the greater sins. What's called al-kabair. And this is something that there is consensus upon. And there's no difference of opinion. Except that amongst the people whose opinion is not considered, the people of deviation. And amongst the people of sunnah, it is agreed upon that tawbah expiates for the major sins. Naam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone and in accordance with the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa taala recognize, record, and reward for us those good deeds, and out of His mercy and His favor that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we leave this world and return to Him in a condition being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, if there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, inshallah, we'll take it after the salat. And also, as usual, everybody is invited. And if you're able to stay for a few minutes after the salat, we'll have some light refreshments. Inshallah.